Alright, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is Gore's Screaming Show, of course. We are back. Let's get started. Shinta hurries over to him. Why did they call you to the principal's office? Was it about Sadashima? Good guess. Kyoji walks past Shinta, tapping on the shoulder while doing so. Shinta follows him. I mean, his mom's pretty famous. She always keeps going, Fumiya-chan? Good impression, man. Kyoji wearily settles into a seat, the woman's shrill screeching still in his mind. Shinta spins around the seat in front of Kyoji before sitting down as well. But forget that. Who is that cool and pretty lady that came into the class earlier? Hell if I know. Kyoji replies curtly, resting his chin on his hands. Shinta looks at him, puzzled. I know a lazy, irresponsible woman, but no cool and pretty ladies. Oh, come on, man. She was pretty and looked really cool. All the boys were jealous when she went to the with you to the principal's office, you know? Shinta grumpily shifts his weight against the back seat, making the chair's legs clatter against the floor. Well, she's nothing like that from a relative's perspective. You mean she's part of your family? Haven't you met her before? It's my mom's cousin, Saitama Yamiko. Weird name. Is that really what she's called? Nah, it's her pen name for the occult magazine she writes for. Her real name's Himiko. She's my guardian while I live here. Remember her now? Himiko Ni-chan. Or Ni-chan, rather. Oh, right. I remember now. That flighty girl. Wait, was she always that pretty? Kyoji stares at him, slack-jawed. Pretty? Shinta keeps talking, his eyes absolutely sparkling. I mean, she is. Man, I'm so jealous of you. Imagine having someone that pretty taking care of you. Wait, do you, like, live in the same house with her? Growing more and more exhausted with this conversation, Kyoji answers Shinta's question with another question. You're not thinking anything strange about this, are you? Shinta pokes Kyoji on the shoulder with a clearly lewd expression on his face. Oh, come on, you live with such a pretty lady. Doesn't she, like, tell you she'll, like, show you the ropes? As Shinta continues to gently poke and prod him, Kyoji slumps over his desk like a beach jellyfish. Nope, nothing like it. Like, do you really think something like that could happen? You've been reading too many porn mags, man. But seriously, compared to living with my sisters, my mom, and my nan, she looks so cool and fun and pretty. Right, I get it. Your sisters are still making your life a living hell, right? Shinta's family is matrilineal. Neither Shinto nor his father have much of a say in the family compared to his grandmother, mother, three older sisters, and kid sister. No, like, I'm used to that, but... Shinta whispers with a distant gaze in his eyes. After he returns from the principal office, the rest of the day goes by uneventfully. Neither Sadashima nor his crew come to school that day, and all the crazy girl trio do is give him some dirty looks while whispering menacingly among themselves. Aside from that, everything is fine. Homeroom ends, and everyone gets to their feet. Kyoji turns his eyes to the door where he sees Ando peering into the classroom. Spotting Kyoji, he starts speaking in his trademark sleepy voice. Jino-kun, can you come over for a moment? The corridor is full of students hurrying home. Meanwhile, Ando waits for Kyoji at the door. When Kyoji goes out into the corridor, Ando lets out a dry cough and scratches his cheek. I don't very much like the fact that I have to tell you this. Ando heaves an unpleasant sigh. He blinks his tiny depressed eyes as he looks at Kyoji. But don't you think you've made a bit too much of a mess on your first day at school? What does he mean? Kyoji gets a feeling he's talking about what happened yesterday with Sadashima. But for some reason, he has an oddly bad feeling about this. Ando regards him with an abject smile and lets out a strained laugh. It looks like you've become something of a hero among your peers. I didn't mean to. Kyoji wants to refute Ando's words somehow, but he can't come up with anything. Ando simply nods with an expression that says he understands everything. I know that kids your age want to stand out somehow, but once you become an adult, you realize just how inconsequential acting that way really is. What's his problem? Kyoji is sick to his stomach. Why does his teacher have to jump to the worst possible conclusion? He throws a dangerous glance at the teacher. Sir, if you have something to say, could you stop beating around the bush and just say it? Ando's mouth simply hangs open for a moment. It seems he didn't expect Kyoji to actually talk back to him. I didn't do this because I wanted to make myself stand out, and I don't think I'm a hero or anything. I think you got the wrong idea about me. The more words leave Kyoji's lips, the angrier he feels. The small, plump man standing in front of him doesn't look like a teacher to be respected, but simply a nasty man. No, I didn't mean... You didn't mean what? Go on, say it. Kyoji knows that making himself look problematic won't do him any good, but he can't keep himself from glaring at the teacher. Ando looks like he's about to say something, but in the end, he only averts his eyes from Kyoji. Well, just don't cause any more trouble, please. Once Kyoji returns to the classroom, Shinta immediately hurries over to him, his face clearly concerned. What did the Sandman want? Nothing. He just said a bunch of stupid stuff. Probably told you not to cause any trouble, huh? Shinta beams at him. That guy has no motivation whatsoever. He's just unpleasant and nasty. No one in class wants to deal with him. So don't let him bother you, Kyoji. Alright, I've got something to give you. Saying that, Shinta returns to his seat for a moment. He rummages through his bag and returns with what looks like a keychain in his hand. I won this from a crane game at the arcade yesterday. You like this sort of stuff, right? Shinta hands the keychain to Kyoji. He realizes it's shaped like a monster from a flashy show he knows. This one's really cool. If you push it here, its head lights up. To illustrate, he pushes hard on the keychain's rubbery torso. The hole at the top of the monster's head flashes up with a surprisingly bright light. Thanks, man. With a curt expression, Kyoji accepts the keychain. He presses on its body to try it out. On closer inspection, its eyes are made out of transparent material that glow whenever the head lights up. Oh, that's kind of cool. He's doing his best to keep it from showing on his face, but he's actually really happy about this gift. What's more, this keychain is a doll of the final demon base Baroron, a creature from Super Amazing Demon Cyclone V, a show Kyoji loved as a kid. Come to think of it, this monster is known for shooting beams from its eyes that can turn any humans they hit into zombies. So when Red got hit by the beam, the other four members of the team had to fight him, and then, what happened after that again? Damn. Kyoji screws up his face. He suddenly notices that Shinta is grinning at him. What? Just thinking that you really like this stuff. Ah, zip it. Is it just me or is your attitude really different compared to yesterday? He's actually kind of... I hate to do the PUA... Alpha whatever, alpha bullshit, but he's actually maintaining frame. Like, he knows that that shit's kind of geeky, so he doesn't want to admit it. And, you know, basically have people think he's a geek or a dork. So he basically, like, it's like, oh, I'm guessing you really like this stuff. He's like, nah, you just shut up about it. You know, he does that. So yeah, that's actually what maintaining frame is actually supposed to be. It's about basically hiding. I mean, it's basically hiding parts of yourself. So don't you things that you don't want people to know. Stay private, I guess you could say. Like, stuff that might harm your reputation. Something like that. You're like, oh, well, I'm actually into whatever geeky thing this is, but I don't want people to know, because if they do, it'll ruin my reputation. They'll call me a geek and a nerd, and, you know, girls won't like me and all this other stuff. So that's pretty much what he's doing there. That's a very good description of maintaining frames. Like, oh, I really like this shit and I remember, but I can't talk about it. I gotta be cool. And he is really actually maintaining that frame, you know. He's not being all alpha, hey, I'm all tough. He's like, yeah, you know, just shut up about it, man. It's not important. It's not a big deal. It's like, really? You're into... It's like, no, I'm really not. But it's cool. Thanks for the gift. You know, you see how he just doesn't go into fucking geek mode, even though that's what's going on in his head. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a shitty way to be, but if you're really worried about your reputation in high school or college or anything like that, sometimes things like that can change how people perceive you. I've actually had this happen. The geekier I... Like, okay. I was actually in a school, I think it was a middle school, and, I mean, let's be honest, middle school, you're still attracted to girls and stuff, like, it doesn't, I mean, it happens, there's people still kind of have those feelings, even kind of younger, I guess, for each other, and, basically, I was a geek and into a bunch of stuff, but I never went full on about it, like, it was the first school I went to where I just really kind of shut the fuck up and didn't say a lot of stuff like that. And people thought I was cool. So I was like, there's no reason to let people think I'm not cool. So yeah, I mean, I used to sit with the girls and every girls would hang out with me and stuff like that because I was being the cool guy. They liked the guy that the guys wanted to be around. You know, you get to be popular, the girls think, oh, that guy's pretty cool. So, there was that, and it was also the first time I actually went out and played football, and I'm talking about, it was damn near rugby. We didn't have pads or nothing. We just straight up did full-on recess football, and that shit was actually fun as shit. That's where I actually learned to wrestle. We actually had wrestling in gym. I think I talked about that, but a lot of that stuff was really cool, and that was the first time I was actually popular. And, you know, I got to actually see the geeky kids and how they would be treated. And there's, like, this one, these kids playing, like, Mortal Kombat action figures. And I guess Mortal Kombat, even though I really liked it, like, you know, Mortal Kombat's a big thing now. But when we were younger, you were kind of a geek if you liked it. So, basically, like, yeah, I mean, those, I would, you know, they were making fun of him. Like, oh, those action figures are actually pretty cool, though. So, but again, you can't really go too far because people think you're a geek, you know, and then of course it ruins your reputation. People don't think you're as cool. They don't hang out. And that's just the way that human tribes are set up. It's probably even worse now with the internet, but I just remember that's how it was like for me. So, yeah, this was a one-off because after that, I just went full-on outcast. Like, when I came back, I just, like, yep, I'm gonna be that crazy guy that listens to metal. And because I actually did like that stuff. And I got tired of not being me. You know? So, I was a geek, but I wasn't, like, the geekiest guy. Because there were people more geeky than me, and they're actually doing better than me. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, yeah, that's what he's doing with maintaining the frame and all that. It's not like the PUA Alpha. You know those guys talk. Shinta awkwardly looks away and feigns a chuckle. You keep talking about how I changed yesterday. So what? Have you changed your mind? No. It's just, you know, you look all different and act cool now, but on the inside you're the same guy. Figuring that out was a relief. I'm not trying to act cool, and I didn't even change that much. If anything, you changed more than I did. I mean, Kyoji, you didn't send me a single letter. Shinta pouts. Well, you didn't send me any letters either. I mean, yeah, I guess, but still. The two exchanged looks for a moment before allowing themselves sheepish smiles. They used to be such good friends. They hung out all the time and were close enough to always know where the other wanted to play next. Maybe it's because they were that close and it was too awkward to send each other letters. Ultimately, 3 years passed by without them so much as giving each other a phone call. Despite that silence, they started talking with each other freely in no time, even if there was some awkwardness at first. I'm finally back home. That soothing thought crosses his mind. Shinto suddenly looks up at the clock hanging on the wall. Oh shoot, I need to get to club activities. Just yesterday I shouted at one of the new members about being late. So I can't be late myself after that. Gotta set an example. Bye, Kyoji. See you tomorrow. Yeah, see you tomorrow, man. See you tomorrow. Those words tingle in his thoughts. As he steps out of the hallway, Kyoji pauses. Come to think of it, he never took the time to tour the school since he transferred in. Normally, someone would make sure to show a transfer student where everything is, but since he's just moving back here, no one suggested it. However, the fact that he moved back here doesn't mean he knows anything about this school. Kinda negligent, isn't it? Of course, he naturally gets no answer after whispering that to himself. After thinking for a little bit, Kyoji decides to take a look around the school building all on his own. He climbs up the stairs to the second floor. He then crosses the connecting corridor to the special school ward. He heads up to its second story. The corridor is where the music classroom and its adjoining instrument storage are, as well as the classrooms for the natural cultural clubs. Kyoji? Kyoji isn't keen on joining any clubs, but as he walks by the rooms, which all have nameplates bearing the titles of their clubs on them, he stops by one door that has a blank nameplate. He stands there for a moment in front of the room. Does this room belong to one of the clubs, or is it just an empty, unused room? He stands in front of the door and thinks. What does he do? Try to go inside? Okay, yeah, that's right. Let's see. I'll try to go inside. It doesn't seem like there's anyone inside, so Kyoji calmly opens the door. From the looks of it, this is some kind of storeroom. All sorts of materials are piled up all around the room. The place smells somewhat dusty, and the place is so cluttered that the floor is barely visible under the mess. Whoa, look at this! Kyoji picks up an acoustic guitar that's sitting abandoned in one of the corners. Did the music club dump it here, or did one of the graduates leave it here as a farewell gift? When Kyoji tries strumming it, the gentle hum of its strings fill the room. It needs to be tuned, of course, but with a bit of fiddling, it should sound just fine. He sits down on a nearby stool. It should be as good as new with a bit of maintenance. Kyoji can't help but smile. It's like he's discovered some kind of hidden treasure. With no one else around, he should be able to play it for a bit without drawing attention to himself. Between his humming to himself and his rather poor strumming of the guitar, Kyoji fails to hear the approaching footsteps or the sound of the door opening. May I come in? Misono-san? In a surprise, Kyoji makes the guitar let out a loud, dissonant note. I'm sorry, I just heard something, so I figured someone might be in here. I tried to knock, but I guess you didn't hear it? Sorry, I didn't hear you at all. What are you doing here, Misono-san? As Kyoji looks at her, bewildered Kika smiles softly. Well, I've been coming to this room for a while now. There, see? Kika points towards one of the room's corners where an old telescope has been set up. There, too! She then points to a wall that has a constellation map pinned to it. Next to that map is a box that has another such map stuffed into it. This used to be the astronomy club's room. I come to this room every now and then, too. Oh, come to think of it, there are signs of the astronomy club all over the room. But since none of them seem to have been used recently, it seems safe to say that the astronomy club is probably disbanded. But what's this, then? Kyoji lifts his guitar, which Kika regards with apprehension. I have no idea. This room seems to be a storeroom too, so I guess it's from the music club? He started playing it on a whim, but is he allowed to just pick it up and use it? What if this belongs to someone? I don't think there's any reason you can't use it. I mean, it looks old and it's just been sitting there the whole time. Right, maybe some graduate left it here. Wait, huh? He looks at Kika in surprise, seeing her bring a hand to her lips and chuckle. I mean, you look so anxious. She's awfully perceptive. He's reminded that Kika was always like that. Oh, right. Did you have any plans here, Misono-san? In that case, I can leave. Oh, no. Don't worry about that. I just come here to relax. To relax? He's a little surprised to hear her say that. Saying she needs to come here to relax implies she's stressed out somehow. On top of that, he considers how despite school being out, Kika chose to come here instead of going home. It's something of a surprise. His impression of Kika is that of a privileged girl. She's the daughter of the company's president, rich and well-educated. Kyoji has seen her parents before during parent-teacher meetings. They're handsome, kind-looking people with features that make it clear where Kika inherited her own looks. He does remember seeing her read books all alone during breaks. She certainly isn't being ostracized, but she did only transfer in a few months ago. Maybe she doesn't quite feel at home in this class yet, much like Kyoji doesn't right now. Kyoji thankfully has people who've known him since years ago, like Shinta and Akane. On top of that, the incident with Sadashima seems to have made everyone more comfortable with him. Even so, he'll no doubt still feel a bit restless in class for a while longer. I guess that's what they call a sense of affinity. Kika peers outside before turning her eyes back towards Kyoji. As her eyes meet, she smiles. Say, is it okay if I started coming here too? Oh, excuse me. Of course, do you mind me being here? Of course not. The two of them exchange glances and smile again. I swear, schools nowadays are just no good. That night, Yamako says this in her usual slow tone as she digs into her instant curry. They just compromise or believe in letting sleeping dogs lie. They probably think this will all blow over if they just leave it alone, right? Try telling that to the teachers. Kyoji tiredly drops his shoulders as Yamako waves her spoon in his direction. No, that just sounds like it'd be a drag. That's what we call a waste of time. People like them are too hard-headed to understand. Adults, huh? The word crosses Kyoji's mind. Yamako carries the spoon into her mouth and cocks her head in a way that was vaguely charming. Oh, right. I wanted to ask you for a little favor, Kyo-chan. What? Kyoji already feels his guard raising. He has a bad feeling about this. Are you free tomorrow after school? No, I'm busy. As Kyoji tries to make his escape, Yamako pursues him by leaning in close. You're busy? Really? Really? Yamako's expression suddenly changes. You're busy? When you don't go to any club, hardly do your homework or help out around the house? Really? Can you look me in the eye and say that one more time? Yamako holds Kyoji's face with both hands and peers into his eyes. Oh man, I wish they had a CG for that. Fine, just let go. So what are we gonna do? Well, could you help me with coverage for a story tomorrow after school? A story? Like, for a braze? That's right. Thrilling, isn't it? Or what? Are you scared? I ain't scared. Don't worry. If you get possessed by something evil, I'll ask a reliable medium to help you. That sounds even more shady. But don't worry. It's nothing that strange. Don't worry about it. Just help me out. You'll make me help you whether I want to or not anyway. Did you say something? Yamako cracks her knuckles again, which makes Kyoji shake his head in a hurry. Nothing! I didn't say anything! Persuasive. That's good. All right, Kyo-chan, you should be very careful on your way back from school. Don't follow any weird men in the streets, okay? That's good advice for everyone. I mean, I haven't seen too many weird men, but there are weird men out there just walking around sometimes. They may not be that weird, they just appear weird, but you still don't want to follow them because you have no idea where they're going. Where did that come from? Well, there have been a lot of disappearances in the area lately. Is she talking about the story Shinta told him? Should be her, right? Let me go back a little bit. Yeah, is she talking about the story Shinta told him? Him? Is him... We're talking to Yamako, right? There have been a lot of disappearances in the area. Is she talking about the story Shinta told him? Who is him? Is it her? Is she talking about the story that Shinta told her? Is that the one? Wasn't it all the girls who went missing? Excuse me. Not all the girls. Wasn't it all girls who went missing, though? I suppose, but I mean, we're out in the sticks, and it's all little girls who went missing. So maybe they ran away from home because they wanted to see what the big city is like. But that said, it's kind of strange. They left their bags and stuff behind. I guess. So people think it's kidnapping, or that those girls got spirited away, or that it's the boogeyman or the Pied Piper? Huh? Really? He's the problem? Those kinds of theories. No way. Kyoji denies it at once. So I'm saying you should be careful just in case. Hey, don't ignore me. I said no way right on cue, didn't I? Thanks for the meal. Yamako brings her hands together cheerfully. Thanks for the meal. Now then. After playing the guitar in front of Kika at school, he's motivated to get better as soon as possible. As soon as he returns to his room, he intends to start practicing. Yamako's eyes shine as she sees him get up. Are you gonna practice the guitar today too? Yeah, what about it? When Yamako's eyes sparkle like that, nothing good ever comes of it. As Kyoji hesitantly gives her a reply, she smirks at him. I was just thinking, is there any way I could record your guitar at once? Her request comes from seemingly nowhere. Does she want to record it to keep track of how much progress he's making, or does she actually like his music? Maybe she feels like Kyoji's awkward skills are a diamond in the rough or something. I guess you could. But I mean, there's no point recording me, is there? Okay, I think him is referring to Kyoji in that sentence. That might be where the disconnect was. Stifling his bashfulness, he brusquely asks her that, only for Yamako to shake her head. Oh, not at all. It's just lovely. It's no good if it's not the sounds of your guitar. Really? No one else's music will do. The whole world should be hearing this. No, the whole universe. Come on, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not exaggerating at all. You're a genius, Kyo-chan. Oh, come on. Complimenting me won't get you anywhere. I can hardly play any songs besides. I don't care about that one bit. You should just play your guitar your way, Kyo-chan. Really? But, keep in mind if you've got any requests that if it's too hard, I might not be able to play it. If she's gonna record him, he should play a good song. What would be the point of recording and practicing basic chords? In that case, he should pick out a good song and start practicing it right away. But just as Kyoji is about to mentally pump his fist, Yamako shakes her head. No, it's fine, even if it's not a song. Huh? Actually, it'd be better if you don't play a song. Huh? See, look at this. It's this month's issue of A Braze. See here in the reader's column? They say that certain dissonant tones are useful for calling UFOs over. Indeed, there's an article that explains how certain dissonant sounds are somehow related to the energy emitted by spaceships or some such. And we're going to verify this for the next volume, so I was hoping you could lend us your help and... Absolutely not! With that, Kyoji angrily stomps back to his room. Despite it not being late into autumn, it's quite a chilly night. To hell with the chief and his sexual harassment. Clutching her own arms in an attempt to shield herself from the wind, she walks down the highway adjacent to the park. Her department chief's greasy face fills her mind. Most people would agree that Yaiko is a quiet woman, but both her appearance and her personality are decidedly plain. Whenever she shops for clothes, she's so obsessed with coordinating the colors, she always ends up picking the same dark shades. Unlike her co-worker, Hiromi, she isn't the type to go out drinking with her male colleagues. Even when she plucks up the courage to go to a mixer, she only ends up sitting in the corner, hanging her head. She never joined any conversations, leaving her with nothing to do but clean up afterward. She always helped with the cleaning because she had hoped that someone would see her as bright and earnest. And yet, this isn't what she wanted to happen. Going all the time made everyone think I'm an exploitable woman. Instead, at some point, Yaiko's position within the department changed. Now everyone sees her as a woman who'd do anything. A woman they could dump any task on. Serve some tea. Make some copies. Pick up overtime to clean up someone else's mess. By forcing those tasks on Yaiko, all her co-workers were able to leave work on time and head out for a night on the town. I've got urgent business to attend to today. Could you handle these documents for me? I'll fill in for you next time. That's what Hiromi told her today, her lips shining with gloss. Hiromi probably assumed that Yaiko couldn't see her how she was... we'll try that again. Hiromi probably assumed Yaiko couldn't see how she was sneering at her deep down. I hate Hiromi. And some urgent business... What? And some urgent business that is? Okay. Weird. And some other urgent business that is! She went out on a date with Sasaki-kun from sales today. Sasaki-kun is kind of handsome, mild-mannered, and quite successful. Yaiko is a bit attracted to him, but before she realized it, he was already going out with Hiromi. And while Hiromi is out dating Sasaki, she had to put up with this. Good lord. Yaiko bites her lip. The documents Hiromi made her handle took longer than she expected. She made a lot of little mistakes. As she made her corrections, time flew by. Before she knew it, the only ones left in the office were her and the section chief. Just after 10 in the evening, he tapped her on the shoulder. You want this, don't you? She turned around to find the department chief baring his genitals. The sight of his flesh rod, its tip gleaming in the light, burned itself into her eyes. She screamed. Or at least she tried to scream, but she was so confused she isn't sure if her voice actually came out. What are you playing dumb for? You've seen a dick before, haven't you? Go on, look some more. He shook his lower half and thrust himself forward. The fact Hiromi only asked Yaiko to handle the documents after she had already gotten ready to leave for home was a blessing in disguise. Yaiko was able to grab her things on the spot and flee the scene immediately. Just remembering it makes her hands holding her tote bag shiver in anger. Looking back at it, that man had always been making lots of comments that bordered on sexual harassment. He'd make jokes that bordered on indecent. It felt like he was always craftily testing the waters, gauging to see just how far he could go. She's so frustrated. Even a terrible man like him is looking down on her. She bites her lips so hard it hurts. The tears start running before she can help it. Constantly mouthing curses at the chief and Hiromi in her heart, Yaiko sprints down the dark road. With those kinds of thoughts in mind, it only makes sense for her to be angry, of course, but there's another reason she's running. Yaiko is terribly afraid. She can't stop shaking. If she hadn't lost herself to anger earlier, she'd be so afraid she'd be screaming right now. Yaiko is gripped by a terrible, inexplicable fear that feels as though it's gouging deep into her flesh. She's so desperate to look away from it that she's willing to let her mind linger on infuriating thoughts of the chief and Hiromi. It's dark around her, yes, but that's no different than any other night. She can't hear anything but her own footsteps, not a sound. That's the most unnerving thing of all. Normally, even in a park at night, there would still be some kind of noise. Sirens in the distance, perhaps, or a dog's barking. The tumult of the shopping district, the faint rustling of the leaves. But tonight, she can't hear anything. It's like the space around her and her alone has been muffled with wads of silk. The wind isn't so much as stirring. The air itself is so silent that it's almost tender. It's like she's in some kind of unknown place, sealed away from the rest of the world. Damn that pervert sheep! Damn him! Yaiko quickens her pace, trying to flee from the strange presence surrounding her. If she goes just a little further down the road, the lights of the residential area should come into view. She can feel that her armpits are damp and that her forehead is dripping with cold sweat. She doesn't know, however, that her eyes are bloodshot. Hurry! Hurry! Just a little longer! Greetings, young lady. How are you? How do you do? And here we are, folks, at another day in Gore Screaming Show. All right, so that's going to be the end of it for Grimm's Hentai Corner and Gore Screaming Show tonight. And we'll have more later, because I'm really getting into this. Things just got interesting. Unfortunately, she died, and a lot more people are. That's the name of the game. And we'll see you next time with more Gore Screaming Show.